Jesus is in an upper room celebrating the Passover meal with his disciples. Can you smell the roast lamb? The wine has been flowing. The praise and worship has been amazing. But something's gnawing away at Peter, a sick feeling in his stomach, confused thoughts. How could any of them, any of his fellow disciples, betray Jesus? Surely not. But the master's so disturbed. I have a bad feeling about this. Trouble's coming. What? Jesus is going away? Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus replies, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. Peter is shaken, maybe distressed that Jesus should so misjudge him. Jesus sees they're troubled, but there's much bigger trials ahead. He has to prepare them for what's coming next. Just seeing anyone crucified gave people nightmares. But when it's your master, your Messiah, Jesus shudders. Jesus has a message for us today, too, from what he said to his disciples in John 14:16, focusing on what we've just heard read. In Christ, we can overcome in our trials. Even though, firstly, trials can be tough. In Christ, we can overcome in our trials. Because second, trials can be transformed by Jesus' presence. In Christ, we can overcome in when we understand, thirdly, trials are temporary in the light of eternity. First, trials can be tough. As Peter had been getting that bad feeling, he and the others hear Jesus say, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let it be fearful." The disciples hear Jesus' warnings like this, and possibly the danger of being killed and all the other trials. They hear all Jesus' promises and reassurances. They told Jesus they'd believed that he'd come from God. And then the big trial came. How did they do? They'd be ready, wouldn't they? They all ran away, just as he'd said. I find this so encouraging. Jesus' SAS disciples, crack troops, handpicked by Jesus, after his amazing boot camp training, healing the sick, casting out demons, yes, even they were terrified. And Peter, the leader, did the worst. There is hope for us. Even if we've run away and are afraid and keep failing, we can still be overcomers. Let's look at why and how. Jesus told his disciples they'd be thrown out of the synagogues. This was not just missing out on a nice, cozy place for a weekly religious meeting. It was about being excluded, rejected, shunned by their community. I've experienced something of that myself. being rejected by a Christian group. It hurt a lot. I was in mourning, reluctant to go to the shops for well over a year because of who may ignore me or be cold and distant who I met in the street. It was hard to know what was worse. But God helped and healed me gradually, opened new doors, and taught me things I'm always grateful for now. Jesus warned his disciples that they'd be killed by their own people too. Indeed, according to tradition, all of the 12 apostles were subsequently martyred, except John. And believers have been martyred ever since. And many, many around the world face this today. Jesus said his disciples will be hated by all nations. Matthew 24:9. I don't think we're there yet, but we can see the direction of travel. Corrie ten Boom was once preaching in a small African country where a new government had come to power. Just that week, the new regime had begun secretly, systematically putting Christians to death. Everyone at the little church where she was speaking had fear written on their face. Corrie read 1 Peter 4:12 and following. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Jesus, keep on rejoicing. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Corrie continued to tell them about when she as a child told her father, Daddy, I'm afraid that I'll never be strong enough to be a martyr for Jesus. Her father asked her, When you go to the train, when do I give you the money for the ticket? 3 weeks before? No, Daddy, just before we get on the train. That's right, he replied. Our Father in heaven knows when you're going to need things too. Today, you don't need the strength to be a martyr. But as soon as you are called upon to face death for Jesus, he'll give you the strength you need just in time. Corrie then related how God gave her all the courage and power she needed when suffering for Jesus in a Nazi concentration camp. Ravensbrück. One day, some prisoners wanted to hear from the Bible, but any prisoner who had a Bible or talked about Jesus faced death by punishment. Despite this, Corrie sensed God wanted her to teach from the Bible. So she began. Suddenly, she saw a figure behind her. A prisoner silently both the words, hide your Bible, Loney. Hide your Bible, it's Loney. Loney. Behind her as she finished her teaching. Corrie then said, let's now sing a hymn of praise. Despite their anxiety, the other prisoners sang. Amazingly, Loney liked the singing and asked for song after song. So the prisoners carried on singing praises to Jesus. Corrie told her African audience, I knew that every word I said could mean death. Yet never before had I felt such peace and joy in my heart as while I was giving the Bible message in the presence of my enemy. God gave me the grace and peace and power that I needed. The money for the train ticket arrived just the moment I was to step on the train. After the meeting, the fear and anxiety was gone from the faces of the African nationals. Instead, there was joy and peace. The presence of God was powerfully among them. This account illustrates the key truth about overcoming in our trials, however great they are or small. We're not expected to overcome in our own strength. In Christ, we can overcome in our trials because our trials are transformed by Jesus' presence, power, and peace. In John 14:6 and 16:7, Jesus told his disciples he would send the Holy Spirit to be with them forever. He also said, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Father will love him. We will come to him and make." The very presence of Son and Holy Spirit helps us to understand what Jesus meant when he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. By my peace," I believe he's referring to his own peace, not simply something he had, but something he was. We know God is love. God is also peace. Jesus is peace himself. I might just move over here. Will this work okay? That's why the peace that Jesus gives is not as the world gives. However world is understood here, whether to all creation or to some part of it, the world is not God. The peace we find in the world is because of our circumstances, like the absence of war or conflict, or the lovely weather. The peace Jesus gives is despite our circumstances. Paul describes this peace as the peace that passes all understanding, a peace that doesn't make sense in the trials. I recently heard a Christian leader saying that he'd been out flying a plane and the plane crashed, but he was completely unharmed. And as he walked away from the wreckage, he was amazed that he felt this extraordinary peace, despite the situation. We too can know Jesus' peace in the midst of all our trials. We may still cry and suffer pain, but we can know the peace, strength, and presence of the Prince of Peace, Jesus himself with us. And with his grace and help, he will give us the ability to overcome. He will give us everything we need. This transforms our trials as we trust Jesus and hold on to him. As Corrie ten Boom testified, we can be even more aware of Jesus' peace and presence when facing even a cruel death. Jesus has overcome this world in its brokenness and rebellion to him and all the troubles of the world. So when we're with him, we can overcome too. So we need to live in the reality of God being with us, that we are overcomers in him. So we get the theory. But how do we actually experience peace in our trials right now? We need to persevere. The disciples didn't experience peace immediately. They ran away. And even after the resurrection, Jesus found them hiding in fear from the authorities. But we don't seek peace for its own sake. We seek Jesus with all our hearts and a relationship with him and do all that we know he wants us to do and seek him for more. Just in your day-to-day lives, you can bring Jesus into more of it. Learn to listen to him and to ask him what he's saying and doing. I often read scripture into my phone, and I find that just reading it aloud, maybe for 20 minutes, half an hour, whatever, and I find that brings me into God's peace. Paul put it pretty simply. Paul, the Apostle Paul, said, to follow him as he followed Jesus. Philippians 4, verse 9. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Two men in a Soviet concentration camp in 1948 did this, and eyewitnesses testified to the following. Two men, one older than the younger, arrived in a new camp. They tried to obey Jesus carefully in every area of their lives, such as they refused to work on Sunday, though they were beaten for it. The camp commander was furious with them. He increased the number of guard dogs and made sure that the dogs weren't fed. He then commanded the men to start to leave the camp, as if to escape, which would justify him setting the dogs on them. This was totally against the camp rules. But the men quietly took off their caps and prayed as they walked through the gate. All the other prisoners were watching. After they'd gone about 60 yards, the six ravenous dogs were sent after them. When the men heard them, they stopped and turned around, so they were facing the camp. The older man took the arms of the younger man and crossed them over his chest. And then he did the same himself. The dogs then they looked up to heaven and were singing. The dogs were a few feet away. Everyone knew what would happen. Many covered their eyes. But when the dogs reached the men, they seemed confused. They ran around the men in a circle. The angry howls became puzzled whines, and then friendly whimpers. They crawled round the men's feet and wagged their tails, licking their shoes. Everyone could hear the two men singing. The camp officer became pale and left. Many of the prisoners sobbed and crossed themselves, and many believed in Jesus. These two men lived so close to Jesus that they were ready at any time to step into his eternal presence. In Christ, we too can overcome in our trials. As we understand, thirdly, trials are temporary compared to eternity. Jesus likens the disciples' grief and pain to a woman's labor pains, which are quickly forgotten in the joy of a child being born. I've not experienced labor pains, but I expect many of us have, either personally or we've witnessed someone else giving birth. I remember hearing John Powell, a Catholic priest, describing his experience seeing a woman giving birth in hospital. He didn't comment on the labor, but when the child was born, he went numb. He couldn't take in the beauty and wonder of this new baby uttering its first cry. Jesus elsewhere speaks of the days immediately before his return as being like labor pains. They will be agonizing, but quickly forgotten as we gaze on the beauty, have the joy and the wonder of Jesus' presence and the glory of his kingdom finally here. Even if our suffering on earth lasts much longer than normal birth pains, in the light of eternity, it is, as Paul put it, momentary. Paul wrote, "For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison." 2 Corinthians 4:14. Consider all the ways in which Jesus' followers have suffered for him over thousands of years. Vast numbers, sometimes for many years, including great cruelties and untold anguish. All this Paul describes as momentary and light. What does this tell us about the amazing wonder and glory of what is coming? Eye has not seen and ear has not heard what God has prepared for those of us who trust him. Jesus is coming because Jesus has already overcome the world, and we can live now in the joy and peace of his kingdom, in his presence, which brings peace and power, however great our trials. As Paul wrote, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." In Christ, we can overcome in our trials, even if they're tough. In Christ, we can overcome in our trials, because our trials can be transformed by Jesus' presence, power, and peace. In Christ, we can overcome in our trials when we understand that they are temporary in the light of eternity. How can we trust Jesus in our trials today and this week? How can we overwhelmingly conquer and overcome in him? I have a challenge for you this week. Whatever trials you have, however big or little, I would just, let's thank God for them. Yep, let's thank God for them. James said, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." James 1:2. Let's ask God to help us to see our trials as opportunities to be overcomers in Christ, living in his presence, power, and peace that passes understanding. Ask him to show us just one step so that we can overcome in whatever trial we choose, whether it's big or little or everything. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come to you. Whatever is going on, whatever trials we face, we come to you now. Please help us to hear you and to say what is on our hearts in this silence. Help us this week to begin to live more in the strength and power and peace of Jesus, or to overcome in other ways. Help us to trust the truth and to not be afraid of what we're facing now or in the future. Make us overcomers in Christ. Amen.